So, Father, I ask that you would just take over my mouth and use it so that your people can get more freedom than they've ever had. That's my prayer. Amen?
Amen.
This is taken from a book by Kelly Varner called Chosen for Greatness. And it's really about how you should conduct yourself as a mature believer. And he uses terminologies that may be a little bit different. But the message is still to make sure that you don't trust your brain. So I'll confirm with the trust in the Lord with all your heart, because he's got plans for you. Okay? So look at your neighbor and say, God's got plans for you. Hallelujah. Okay. When the Holy Spirit, for me, impacted my life with the powers of authority in the believer. That was when I started to train under Gino and Roby Moore, was the assistant pastor, and we met on a regular basis. And they had me study. I studied for a year and a half a series of tapes called Keys to the Kingdom. I have a loose leaf about yay thick of notes. All of them on the Word, but one piece missing. You hear me? These teachings went basically all around the world when they were given out. They were given out for a period of 3 years. They were taught. And I had the originals. I listened to them. I made notes. I studied. And I obeyed. In my Catholic charismatic experience, I had been taught basically the same thing, except for one thing. One piece missing. Two verses to verify that one piece that was missing. That came in 1986. Became such an irritation to me that I really wanted to just throw the towel in. How many know sometimes you want to really get to the edge of your boat, jump out? And that's where I was. And the scripture is John chapter 5, verse 19 and 30. Jesus never did anything to please himself. He only did what he heard and he knew what the Father was telling him to do. So he wasn't looking at a set of circumstances and start binding and loosing according to his will. Okay? That's the missing link. I watched, and God said to me, Kim, do not kick yourself for where you were. You confirmed that tonight. Kicking yourself for where you were would be like saying all your 8 years of grade school were useless. All your 8 years. Are they useless or are they useful? They're building blocks, exactly. In the realm of the Spirit, you have the outer court, you have the inner, and then you have the Holy of Holies. You have Jesus as a baby, you have him as a young man, and then you have him as an adult at 30. Get a clue. His ministry did not start when he was 12. He had a vision of the Father, and he was trying then to let them know where he was. And he baffled the best minds of that day. Psalms 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, and a very present help in trouble. The Hebrew word for refuge here means a shelter. from the rain, or storm, or from danger. And it is rendered in the King James Version as hope, or place of refuge, shelter, trust, etc. Our refuge is a person. In the person there is a place. In the place there is a peace. In the peace there is a posture. And in that posture is an aggressive one who commands the armies of the Lord. And he says, go forward to attack. In this present season, his elect must be on the offensive, not laid back, cautious, and comfortable. First and most importantly, our refuge is a person. Say, my refuge is a person.
My refuge is a person.
Hallelujah. The second, our refuge is a place. There is a place in that person. Third, our refuge is our peace. There is a peace in that place. Fourth, our refuge is a posture, a place of preparation. There is a posture in the peace. This posture is one of complete trust in the Lord. Does that confirm your word, girl? We are safe and secure in Christ. The fruit of this Spirit is boldness and confidence with access. Ephesians 3:12. Go after the enemy. Matthew 16:18. Upon this rock, I, Jesus, will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail, overpower, or overcome against it. In my youth, I delivered newspapers. I have been chased by mean people and mean dogs. But I have yet to be chased by a gate. Get the picture? My point is this, the church needs to be directionally challenged. God's people are not being attacked here. Rather, we are storming the gates of hell. And the spirits cannot resist us. Darkness cannot understand or overcome light. John chapter 1 verse 5 confirms it. Similarly, we have misunderstood the principles of binding and loosing. Anyone who reads my book knows that I teach biblical truths in paradigms of excellence or threefold things. Proverbs 22:20 confirms that. To clearly illustrate our agreeing with the Father and all that he decreed over us beforehand, we need to re-examine the whole threefold truth about binding and loosing. Now, I made a comment right here, and you better listen up. What our Father has decreed over us beforehand, before we entered this realm in your mother's womb, God prepared you. Jeremiah chapter 1. He prepared you and he invested in you what you shall become. And here you are doing your own thing. Have a party. Because it ain't going to last too long, because when you get on the other side of that gate and St. Peter looks at you and he says, ha ha, you should have been a prophet. Where are your credentials? They were sealed in your spirit. And here you are, bowing to fear or any other crap. And excuse the language, but I'm angry at the body of Christ that refuses to do their job because of all this interference that other people laid on you. Come on, please say amen.
Amen.
God did not put you in a spirit of fear. You put yourself there. How? By listening or agreeing with somebody that was not of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen?
First, there is no real binding and loosing in the outer court. The evangelicals' realms and the authority of the believer and the way of the Spirit are not emphasized there. Meaning people who go to church are not going to be doing that. They're just doing their thing, and that's okay. The man-made theology of cessationism has seen to that. In other words, they don't believe in the gifts. They don't believe in anything should be happening and you shouldn't get healed by God because it went out with the book of Acts. Psalms 149, verse 5 through 9. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouths, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. To execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye to the Lord. Compare Ephesians 3:10 and Ephesians 6:12. If you want to go do the study, you should go a little deeper. Second, most of what we have known about binding and loosing up till now is set forth by the psalmist in the holy place, the Feast of Pentecost, and every spirit-filled Christian has the authority to bind the adversary and to speak to circumstances and to loose heaven's blessing in the name of Jesus. Mark 16, verse 15 through 20. We are not doing away with the level of binding and loosing, somebody asks. When do we operate in that dimension of binding the enemy? Whenever the need arises. But there is a third dimension, because I lived there. And God honors that space. That's like being in high school. You haven't reached college yet, but you're in high school. Would you throw away your 4 years of high school? Why? There's another level of building. I'm trying tonight to take you higher. But there is a third dimension that completes the whole truth about binding and loosing. From the most holy place, the Feast of Tabernacles, the place of our full maturity in Christ, Ephesians 4:13, there flows a creative river of agreement with the word of the Lord. That was Ephesians 4:13. Matthew 16:19 says, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. This word for bind used here is the primary verb, deo, and it means to bind, to put under obligation, used of the law, duty, to be bound to one's a wife or a husband. Do you understand the concept now? Deo is covenantal word. It primarily speaks of marriage and covenant, a living relationship. Not a head trip trying to overcome something else. Here's this key principle. Who and what you bind. All that you declare legally binding is who and what you are. And who and what you are is what the Father decreed over you and about you when you were but a word out of his mouth before you had a body. Close your eyes. Who and what you are is what the Father decreed over you and about you when you were a word out of his mouth before you had a body. Now, if you've got a war going on the inside, you're perfectly normal. Open your eyes. Declare with me. I had my reality. With my Father. When he spoke the word. And I became a living spirit. That's who I really am. Not this outer garment. And not the soul. That's the byproduct of all this fleshy stuff. The real me. Is my spirit. And it looks like that. Smells like that. Almost a carbon copy. Of my big brother Jesus. Don't calm down. It's okay to get excited. Are you catching on? if you get this into your heart, it's going to change you. Okay? Either Christ is bound to us or Adam is bound to us. Either Christ, his new nature and authority, is bound to me, or Adam, our old nature, is bound to me. As stated elsewhere, Adam was not justified. Adam was put to death, killed at the cross. Christ, the new man, was justified and declared a righteous son. Amen?
Amen.
I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Have arisen to walk in newness of life. Amen?
Amen.
Romans 6, 4, 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. Everything hinges on how we think. Everything hinges on how I think. Proverbs 23, 7. And how I think determines how I act. The retrieval of our right mind. Did you hear me? The retrieval, the regeneration, the recreation of my right mind is something that I have to depend on God for. Okay? Everything hinges on how I think. And how I think determines how I act. The retrieval of my right mind, along our right name and language, has given us a resurrection mindset. We are victors, not victims. Say, I'm a victory. And I'm happening in this earth. I'm not a victim. We are attacking hell. Hell is not attacking us. Are you catching on? The next level will come Sunday. The next level will come Sunday. Now, am I coaxing you to come back? Take it the way you want. I'm not trying to do anything but to obey, because it's 9:15, and I know that this stuff is hard to swallow.
Amen.
Because we're so ingrained in this brain that I have, and we think it's the real me, that brain is a product of who and what you've been in this earth. But my spirit is a product of eternity. And it's coming back into full swing as I allow God to use me. So now all of you are a drop in that same bucket. Hear me? And you're going to intermingle. And it's going to create a body ministry. And it's going to recreate the church the way it was designed to be, with apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and all the helps. Yeah. Not this lone wolf gang. It doesn't work by the lone wolf gang. I got news for you. Even the wolves are not stupid. Well, are they?
No.
They're going to wait until they have a group. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you ever catch the hyenas in that, wonderful channel that we have called Adventureland or whatever you call it? Nature?
Animal planet?
I mean, man, they don't go doing something as stupid as some Christians. I mean, I hate to say it, but it's the truth. Okay? Put your hand over your heart. Say,
Lord Jesus,
my spirit being
needs to get deeper.
And more revelation I need.
So that I can see
the real me.
Hallelujah.